The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The girl is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. You know, we always treat the gospel with special reverence. We have our little procession and the incensation of the scriptures. We accompany it with those special sayings, right? The gospel of the Lord, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, right? We have this elevated sense of the gospel. But today, perhaps even more so, at least I experience it. I think that we are on specially holy ground today. And why would I say that? Because I think what we find in the scriptures today, I think we find, rather, artifacts of what can only be called, direct testimony. Now, the whole New Testament is compiled of firsthand accounts, eyewitness accounts of what Jesus was up to in his time on earth. But here, I think we receive perhaps more of an intimate look at Jesus because we encounter these particular eyewitnesses who are healed by Jesus. We can tell that this is the story of the woman who was cured. And we can see that this is Jairus' story. We could tell this Jairus' story, right? Because his name is in it. And his name is in it. Everyone says, this is Jairus' story. You know, that Jairus over there. This is his story when it's retold. And we see such little artifacts like Talitha Kum. Why is it that everything else Jesus says is in the language of the New Testament? It's recorded in Greek. And yet here we have Talitha Kum left in its original Aramaic. Why do we have that? Because, again, we have this intimate account, right? This direct account, this firsthand eyewitness account of what Jesus did. And this was simply unforgettable. It's unforgettable because this here is the source not only of life change, which for us, whenever we've had a life change, we're marked by that and we remember it and we recall it. We say rejoice in it if it's something so tremendously positive as this. It's life actually from death. It's more than life change. It's a new birth here. Both of these accounts are of new birth. How do both the woman who is afflicted and this child who was dead, how do they experience new birth, new life? Through faith. Through faith. So here we have to understand, do the theological foundation here for these scriptures. We have to know what is faith and what is salvation. Because both of these accounts are of people being saved. And they are saved by faith. So what is salvation then? Let's start there. What is salvation? It's not a tack on religious experience that we have in life, right? It's not like we have this life, it's all good really, at least it's not terribly bad, and we have tacked on top of it, kind of, or like, let's say like icing on a cake, we're going to have salvation. Yeah, we're saved as well. We have salvation. Now, salvation is meant to penetrate every fiber of our being. And actually, we encounter the picture is painted for us today in this scripture of what salvation is. Right? First, to be saved is this life from death experience. This girl, 12 years old, was dead. And Jesus raises her to life. By the power, by the way, right? The power that is at work in him in his ministry, the power that is at work in his resurrection from the dead. Young girl, I say to you, arise. It's resurrection language. Okay? Life, that's right, death to life. That's saved. And we, by virtue of our baptism into Jesus' death and resurrection, have been saved. By our faith in Jesus and our baptism, by our entrusting ourselves to Jesus, by clinging on to him, and by giving our allegiance to him, we have been saved. But it's not even enough. It has to be worked out also in the course of our entire life. This woman suffering an affliction who comes to Jesus for healing. She knows, if I just touch his clothes, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She's being saved. Right? It's this journey then from death to life, but now life to fullness of life. Wholeness, integrity, the healing that we so desperately need. And how do we get there? Faith. Faith. But faith is not, we're sitting here like, yeah, I have faith. I mean, when those surveys go around, these places that study these kind of things, right, these religious things, whatever they are, the survey goes around and says, do you have faith? And like, we're likely even to get a response from atheists that says yes. That's not the faith that we encounter in the scriptures. This kind of like, I have faith that there is something out there, right? Like, I'm blind to it, but I'm groping in the darkness. Like, there's something out. That's not the faith of the New Testament. The faith of the New Testament is, again, embodied in this woman who seeks Jesus out. We're given such a beautiful picture of it this weekend, of what our faith should look like. This woman who's seeking desperately after healing and wholeness. She knows that she doesn't have the answers in herself. And she's not going to find them in the doctors. Right? She did that. She went that way. She was drained. She was exhausted that way. She's also not going to find them. She's not going to find the answers in a pursuit of pleasure or riches or popularity. She's going to find what she needs in the one true God. And how does she get what she needs? She taps into Jesus. She taps into him. Right? He's the source of life. And all she has to do is touch him. She just has to touch his clothes. And she'll be healed. I mean, do we have that kind of faith? Do we trust Jesus that much? We can. We can. And we should. If I but touch his clothes, and immediately she's healed. My friends, we come here today to tap into Jesus. Weak faith or strong faith, my friends, it doesn't matter right now. As long as we reach out to touch him, we will receive the power of his love. And we're not just reaching out to touch his garments. We receive into ourselves his body, blood, soul, and divinity. He couldn't be more intimately present to us than what is on offer today, that we receive into our very selves his entire life. And when we do, we find that power of God's love at work in us. And not just at work in us, but also through us. That we're not simply meant to be healed and stay there, but we're meant to be agents of his healing power, agents of his loving grace to a world that needs precisely that. My friends, reach out to touch Jesus today, wherever you are, wherever you are in your heart. Frustration, anger, bitterness, whatever. The bad stuff, right? There's the bad side of the spectrum. Or joy and peace and, you know, I love life and wherever you are today, reach out to touch Jesus. He wants every part of your life. And he will bring healing and strength and peace and joy to every part of your life that you bring to him. And that's what we do here, Sunday after Sunday. Offer ourselves to God through and with and in Jesus to receive his loving mercy, that we might become agents of his loving mercy to the world around us.